I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The Senate will be in order. Would senators please take their conversations to the cloak?
Madam President, we've set a very unfortunate precedent here. This means that the Senate can ignore, in effect, the House's impeachment. It doesn't make any difference whether our friends on the other side thought he should have been impeached or not. He was. And by doing what we just did, we have, in effect, ignored the directions of the House, which were to have a trial. We had no evidence, no procedure. This is a day that's not a proud day in the history of the Senate.
It is not a proud day in the history of the Senate, as the Senate turned its back on impeachment delivered from the House. Maybe I've overstated for some of you, but for some who are still understanding, and I'm not saying you're ignorant in any fashion, but I just want to make sure we're fully educated and up to speed on this point. The House issues basically what is an indictment, like a grand jury indictment, to send to the jury, which would be the Senate, to decide, will the indictment hold? Is this person guilty as charged? That's what the House did, charging Mayorkas with its impeachment. And Chuck Schumer had a lot of ways to get out of it. One was go ahead and hold a quick hearing and just be done with it. Two, just dismiss it, as they did. And three, just never even bring it to the floor. You could have gotten around there too, believe it or not. And as it turned out, he might as well have just done that. Didn't even bring it up. Because when it came to the votes, Senator Ted Cruz, they give you the votes on how the Democrats went along with it. I'll have that in a moment, but first of all, let's set the stage for you again. Glad to have you on board again with us. This is the second of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA Back to Back. We're here every Monday through Friday. Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program, and believe me, I'm making it engaging at this point, so if you're watching, you're not just watching paint dry, because I couldn't stand to watch that. But here's the point, too, that you can watch it in numerous ways. One, you can go to News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. You can go to Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. And if you miss anything, everything goes up, both audio and video, as podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. And if you end up watching and listening later, push that share button to let others see and hear. We need to spread the word like a wildfire, because we've got to get geared up and be ready for what's coming in November. Don't be lackluster about it. Say, I'll get to it later. This is pressing. I know you've got your life and your family, and I always say family comes first. But I also say it applies in this case. Your family does come first, but what we're going through in this country is putting your family in jeopardy. Many of you already know that. You know it, one, by the amount of money you have or don't have to spend. And then, of course, with all the crime escalating and invasions from the south and the north of our border continue to accelerate, and many of those coming in are then later charged, if not convicted, with crimes. Everything from DUI, which an illegal alien is charged with killing a Nevada senator's staff member the other day, and to rape and torture of women, men, boys, girls, children. That affects your family. So if you're going to put your family first, this needs to be part of your game plan. Mayorkas was asked today, right after, of course, the impeachment got just turned down by the Senate. Mayorkas was asked today by Senator Mitt Romney of Utah about what do you know about the impeachment articles that were taken that they filed against you? And his words were, actually, I have not read the articles of impeachment. He didn't even bother reading them. Well, now there are two reasons there. One, he already knows what they're going to say and didn't like it anyway. And two, he knew it was not going to amount to anything. It's all a funny joke. I don't need to bother reading it. Romney told him then, well, I'd probably want to do that because it alleges you did not follow the law of the U.S. of America, and either you or your counsel ought to read that to make sure you are following the law. Not just past tense, but you are currently and for the future tense following the law. All that dealing with articles, numerous asylum seekers are being released en masse into the country, which Mayorkas claims is false. That was one of the issues of the indictment against him. He lied in front of Congress. High crimes and misdemeanors. And when it came to a vote, you got Majority Leader Chuck Schumer briefly debating the merit and then took a vote, Senator Ted Cruz.
In the 237 years of our nation's history, I don't know that there has been a more shameful day in the United States Senate than today. What we just witnessed was a travesty. It was a travesty to the United States Constitution, and it was a travesty to the American people. And it's important to understand why the Democrats did what they did. We're here on the Senate floor right now, but I want the record to reflect I'm going to do a very accurate count of the number of Democrats who are with us. That would be zero, other than the presiding officer, and somebody has to preside. Not a single Democrat senator chose to come to this floor and listen to one word of evidence.
Yeah, Chuck Schumer said, we can briefly debate the merit, but no. Republicans said, no, we need to have a full hearing and a trial. Which brings us to comments that back that up as to what the meaning would be and the value of it. Utah Senator Mike Lee.
What we've witnessed today is truly historic. This has never occurred. Nothing like this has ever occurred. You know, under Article 1, Section 3, Clause 6, we've been given a duty. We've been given this, the sole exclusive power to try all impeachments. Try all impeachments. Not some of them. Not just those with which we have happened to agree. Not just those that we are happy that the House of Representatives undertook to prosecute, but all. The word try is also significant. It refers to the word trial. It's the same word. It's a proceeding in which the law and the facts are presented to finders of fact in front of judges in order to reach an ultimate disposition. In a criminal proceeding, it would be an ultimate disposition culminating in a verdict of guilty or not guilty. We were precluded from doing that job today, and we were precluded from doing so in a way that is not only ahistoric and unprecedented, but also counter-constitutional.
Counter-constitutional in every way. And there's an ironic twist that got added to this. Florida Senator Rick Scott stated, the Republican majority of the House has voted to impeach you for violating your oath of office. Whether you, Mayorkas, believe that is right or wrong, that has happened. And then he added, Chuck Schumer decided to deny you the ability to defend yourself in a trial. There are cases that you watch and see on TV, and obviously one of the more notorious ones involved the man who recently passed, O.J. Simpson. People glued to their set watching the trial. The prosecutors had their evidence. They presented. The defense presented their evidence. Now, whether you decide that the verdict was correct or wrong, it is the verdict. It is a fact. It is that truth we're talking about in the last hour. You can't deny it. You may not like it, but that is the fact and that is the truth of what happened. I personally disagree with it, but the bottom line is that's the way it was carried out. And O.J. Simpson had a chance to defend himself against accusations. If these accusations were made and they never had a trial, how many people would believe in their heart for sure he did it versus those who, once they saw some of it take place, particularly the glove, they decided, well, yeah, he did not do it. And they got some basis to back up their thought. But if he never had that opportunity, he's living with that hanging over his head. He did anyway. We all know that. Because not everyone's going to accept the verdict. But you've got to accept it because that's the law of our land. But the other point being is Senator Cruz re-stressed, and you heard Senator Mike Lee point out, we failed to do our duty.
The majority leader didn't stand up and say, here's the reason why it's okay. No, he didn't present that argument. They didn't read a brief. Nobody wrote a brief. They didn't care enough to know what Senator Lee just laid out, that the Biden Department of Justice went in front of the U.S. Supreme Court and said, if the executive defies the law, the answer is impeachment. The willingness of every Democrat to be blatantly hypocritical. Just last year, the Biden Justice Department said, no, you can't sue in court when we, the Biden administration, defy the law. The answer is impeachment. In like three-card Monty, every Senate Democrat said, no, the answer is not impeachment. I don't know what it is. Actually, I do know what it is. There's only one answer left. Which is everyone who is unhappy about the open border shows up in November, and to use the phrase, throw the bums out.
Yeah, do that. Throw them out. This 20-page article of impeachment against Mayorkas basically said he violated immigration laws while also accusing him of, quote, breach of public trust. Immediately the case was condemned by the Democrats. They said those accusations do not meet the standard of high crimes and misdemeanors prescribed by the Constitution. Oh, my God, they finally recognize there is a Constitution. And I should point out for you, three House members also criticized the measure, said that their colleagues, Republican colleagues in the House, were politicizing policy disputes. And yet, what did we see happen with Donald Trump? Oh, yeah, that's another story. Right. But you heard Cruz said you can either throw them out because the illegal immigration, the invasion, continues. It is destroying our nation. And Biden and Mayorkas are responsible. In my view, those are clear grounds to impeach. But even if you disagree, have the Senate have a full hearing. You just witness what libs will do to protect their control over you. And the nation continues to suffer. Especially in sanctuary cities and states. But now citizens in those states, even if they're Democrats, are putting their blame on the politicians. Dateline, Chicago, a proposal for $70 million for illegals.
This $70 million. $70 million. And not counting the past millions of dollars that this city done approved of, or this state and the county, et cetera. $70 million. Y'all won't even put $1 million in one neighborhood. $1 million in one neighborhood. Brandon Mayor Johnson, you say that you for the children, et cetera, you for the youth. You know, you want to have work programs for the youth, et cetera. Where $1 million for these work programs for these children?
Excellent question. From a Democrat in Chicago who sees what's happening around him. And he's one of many such voices. And, of course, the whole idea of how Chicago became a sanctuary city, that point got raised in that hearing by a second citizen.
I'm a native to Chicago. It's near and dear to my heart. The city doesn't feel the same anymore. There's a lot of stuff going on right now that's really hard to process. there's a lot of people here that have watched me on social media. I'm a social media influencer, and I've heard the word getting back to me. Some of the people that work for you have gotten stuff back to me. I'm going to say what I have to say regardless. You can come after me if you want. You can try to slander me if you want. Some of the aldermen can talk behind my back if you want. But there's 31 out of 50 aldermen, December 14th, that turned their back on the public that said, I will not take their vote on this city continuing to be a sanctuary city. You turned it to yourself to speak for us. You turned it to yourself to speak for the public. We pay you. You work for us. We put you there. How can you stand there and say anything about we don't want to take their vote? We're going to speak on their behalf, and this is how it's going to be. It shouldn't work that way. Any politician that feels like they deserve that type of control over people, they don't deserve to be politicians. They don't deserve to be in the spot that they're in.
Yeah, because you're jeopardizing American citizens by this invasion from the South. And we're just talking about illegals that come in and commit crimes against American citizens. Right there, we're talking about that. But we're also talking about the terrorists that have come in, and who knows what they plan to do. And again, when you have this many active criminals coming across the border looking to commit crimes, maybe even deported for crimes after being convicted here and serving some time, being deported, they show back up again, it was not going to take long before it was going to begin to affect Democrats who might be in favor of sanctuary cities and states. And this last weekend, one incident happened involving a staffer for Democrat Senator Catherine Masto of Nevada.
A victim of a deadly hit-and-run crash over the weekend has been identified as a longtime staffer of U.S. Senator from Nevada, Catherine Cortez Masto.
Yeah, the medical examiner's office confirmed 38-year-old Kurt Engelhart died in the crash on Saturday. According to investigators, his car was hit early Saturday morning near Peckham and Kitsky Lanes by a suspected impaired driver. In a statement, Senator Cortez Masto writes in part, quote, Kurt was always eager to help a constituent at a moment's notice. He touched many lives, and I know almost everyone in Northern Nevada has a great story about Kurt helping them or making them laugh, end quote. As we've reported, police arrested 18-year-old Elmer Rueda Linares, who's accused of hitting him. Police say he ran off after the crash, but was eventually caught.
That report did not mention he's also illegally here. It hit home for a Democrat senator, a member of her own staff. You think maybe they'll say enough is enough when it begins to harm their families? I don't wish that upon them. But in the meantime, other American families are suffering and will. Coming up, Mike Johnson deciding to push forward a Ukraine package without insisting on full money to close down the border. Who's whispering in his ear? Well, the Hill has a publication report that maybe one of those he's trusting most has a reason to push more money for Ukraine, and it might involve personal financial gain either now or down the road. Did Mike Johnson sell out? And then, of course, there's also a part of the bill that Biden can change immediately. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on. There's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local. Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941 and newstalkstl.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on? The Rob Carter Show. Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. The House releasing the text of three foreign aid bills totaling more than $95 billion. It sends $60 billion to Ukraine, an additional $26 billion to Israel, and $8 billion for Taiwan. Speaker Mike Johnson also announcing the Rules Committee will release text on a border security bill, which will include measures such as remaining in Mexico, fixing the broken asylum and parole processes, and rebuilding portions of the wall. Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene says support is growing for her motion to oust the speaker. She posted this on X. Chuck Schumer bragged on the Senate floor about Speaker Johnson giving Democrats everything they want in the foreign war bill and for Ukraine. Johnson is not our speaker. He is theirs. The question is, how much longer will our conference tolerate this? But Speaker Johnson is not backing down.
Why are you willing to risk losing your job over this Ukraine funding?
Listen, my philosophy is you do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may. Look, history judges us for what we do. This is a critical time right now, a critical time on the world stage.
Now, again, Congressman Speaker of the House Johnson says he thinks he's doing the right thing, that we are in a difficult position right now. Well, he certainly is, as you heard Maria Bartiromo point out. Marjorie Taylor Greene is after his head, and she's got the backing also of Congressman Massey. Yesterday, it said he also is willing to help push forward to have Johnson ousted. Not everyone is, even though they don't like it. But let me break down this bill in a little bit more detail than what Maria did. She gave you the total amounts, but specifically for Ukraine, 49 pages, $61 billion to, quote, address the conflict in Ukraine, assist our regional partners as they counter Russia. And that figure includes $23 billion to replenish defense articles and services provided to Ukraine. That means money that will be going into the states in one way or the other, and then creating weapons and munitions for Ukraine and resupplying us. That means $11 billion for current U.S. military operations in the region. That's not boots on the ground. That's support measures. $13 billion for the procurement of advanced weapon systems, so forth and so on. $26 million to continue oversight and accountability. $26 million to oversee, what did I just add up, $20, $30, $40 billion? $20 million to oversee. I hope that $20 million is well spent and active. The Israeli Defense Supplemental Agreement, 25 pages, $4 billion to replenish the Iron Dome and the Sling missile defense systems, and also another $1.2 billion to counter short-range rockets, $3.5 for them to get advanced weapons, $2.4 billion for current U.S. military operations again in the region. Now, keep in mind, you heard her mention, of course, some help for the border wall and doing something, but not really closing the border, which is what many representatives have said, no more money for Ukraine. And Johnson was siding with them. But then something changed. First of all, I want you to hear from Florida Congressman Byron Donalds and his reaction to the passage of the push forward by Johnson on the Ukraine bill.
This bill shouldn't pass the House, and for one very important reason. First and foremost, let's take Israel. We should support Israel. That funding should go through the House. That's something myself and a lot of other members have been imploring House leadership to do for a month now. We could have done it cleanly for a month, sent that to the Senate. If Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden want to veto that funding, that's on them. But Israel's our ally in the region, one of the longest-standing allies in our country's history. We should stand behind them. When it comes to Ukraine, we've already sent $114 billion to Ukraine. Joe Biden is the one who has basically frittered that money away with no strategy, with delays on delivering material, no clear mission. And so what House leadership has told Republicans for about 8 to 9 months now is that there will be no more new Ukraine funding until we secure our southern border.
And that's not happening. Now, when it came to Israel, immediately after October 7, Chuck Schumer, leader of the Senate, stood in the Senate well as an American, a Jew, a leader of the Senate, saying, we need $14 billion for Israel immediately, ASAP. And within days, Mike Johnson got that money approved through the House, sent it over to him, and Schumer rejected it. Well, it doesn't have any money for Ukraine. You said you wanted it for Israel. Now, this time it's more than what was originally requested, so that's good. And Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky has an interesting take on the Israeli money, Ukraine money, and Speaker Johnson.
You know, I haven't supported foreign aid really in my tenure in the Senate, but I did support foreign aid that was paid for to Israel not too long ago. This was passed in the House, and then every Democrat in the Senate voted against foreign aid that was paid for. What I would say to Speaker Johnson is hold your ground, show some cojones, show some intestinal fortitude, for goodness sakes. You've already passed aid to Israel. Tell Chuck Schumer when he's ready to take it up, and it's going to be paid for.
Yeah. Perfect. Take that strong position. Which gives way for a question that Maria posed to Florida Congressman Byron Donalds.
What's going on with Speaker Johnson in these meetings when you're not there? I mean, why is he doing flip-flops?
Look, I can't speak to what's happening in the meetings when I'm not in the room. When I happen to be in some of these rooms, I think the speaker's trying to get all the information to make a decision. But I'm just going to be blunt with you, Maria. I think he's getting bad advice from his team, from his staff. I think there is bad advice coming from other members on Capitol Hill who are trying to accomplish the thing that they're trying to accomplish and not looking at the totality of all of the issues, not just facing Republicans, but facing the American people. And last but not least, on Capitol Hill, this isn't really about politics. It is about bare knuckles negotiations. And so you got to be able to look other people in the eye and demonstrate to them that you are serious about your position and that nothing else can move forward until that position is either addressed or at a minimum seriously debated. All you have to do is look at what the Senate did yesterday with Mayorkas. They refused to have even serious debates on the Senate floor about these issues.
And they didn't. That's how strong you can be. And the Republicans do control the House. But Johnson continues to make side deals. Who's whispering in his ear? Well, the Hill is suggesting that the inside story of why Johnson flip-flopped on Ukraine aid starts with his top policy advisor, a former lobbyist. Clients included a number of major companies who have corporate statements including and indicating some kind of interest in the war, mainly monetary interest. What's more, Ziegler also represented the highly controversial News Media Alliance, which lobbied Congress to push a proposal that would hurt conservative media, should add that. He's not the only one in the inner circle who has issues. Several other staffers working for Johnson have a series of troubling developments in their backgrounds, according to Breitbart, and they say it's unclear if the speaker is aware of any or all of this. Mike Johnson, I want to believe, is a good faith man based in his Christianity, wants to do good, do right, but you can't always appease everyone. That has to be understood. And he got in there only because they got rid of McCarthy, didn't like him. And now they're saying, we don't like the way you're doing it. Well, I don't like the turnover all the time. You just can't do that continuously. But maybe he's listening to the wrong people, or maybe he's fully aware of it, and he's not as good and as clean and as pure as I had hoped and wanted. Larry, are you saying he sold the country out? I'm not saying that, but at the same time, he did not deliver what he was talking big about at one point. And then back to the Ukraine proposal itself. Byron Donalds of Florida has also served as a banker, and he found language inside that bill which some of us have also noted, but I wasn't smart enough to decide, does it really mean what I think it does? Byron Donalds says, yes, it does.
There has been no consequence for the Democrat Senate or for the White House for leaving our border open, for allowing fentanyl to flow through our streets, to allow now an uprising of measles and mumps and tuberculosis, diseases that we have essentially eradicated in the United States. Those have come back, not to mention what's happened to the inner cities in our country that are overrun and that are overwhelmed by this illegal immigrant crisis created by Joe Biden and his administration. And so House Republicans have been very clear for a long time up until this week. Secure our border and we can talk about funding. But to do this the way it's happening isn't going to work. And Maria, let me also say this. The loan portion of this that was promised, right, when you read the text, 50% of the proceeds can be forgiven by Joe Biden this November. That's not a loan, Maria. That's foolishness. You're basically telling us, oh, we're going to have Ukraine pay us back. But when you read the actual text, you see that's not going to happen. I was a banker before I was a politician, Maria. We would never write a loan covenant like that in the real world, but that happens far too often in Washington.
Yeah. So right there, that one little part says if Biden's reelected, Ukraine's not going to pay anything back, assuming they were going to. Coming up, the Trump trial is having more issues, and it's not good for the prosecution. That's still to come. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beal knows that new roofing companies can look big and trustworthy on the internet, but the fact is 96% of new roofing companies go out of business within the first 5 years. John Beal has a reputation for excellence, reliability, plus lowest cost, best roof, best guarantee. Those here today, gone tomorrow roofers, they can't match John Beal. For home or business, trust my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is News Talk STL.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, the Trump trial is having some difficulties to the extent that they can't get enough jurors. Now, obviously, any trial, if you even watched way back to Perry Mason or more recent live court cases, part of it, and that's the more boring part of any trial, is selecting a jury. And yet it is the most important part. Attorneys often will hire someone to be there to analyze each of the jurors as to how they answer questions verbally and how they react, trying to see if that's going to be a favorable juror we want on our case or one we don't want. The lawyers are allotted certain number of strikes, depending on the trial, the judge, and whatever parameters they have in place where the trial is being taking place. They started this week with 96 potential jurors. They quickly whittled that down to around 34. And then additional causes were brought up. And where do they stand right now? Well, today they had to bring in another 96 jurors to be sworn in. And then they got sent home for the day. They're supposed to be back at court tomorrow, and they'll start again going through questionnaires and asking juror-specific questions. And already currently out of the first 96 throughout this entire week, one of the questions being, do you have a bias against Trump already or for him? That's a very important question. And it doesn't have to be asked directly. They can ask, well, what articles and news sources do you depend on? Well, I'm all about listening to NPR and watching PBS and following Jake Tapper on Nightline and Cottonmouth Cooper and all that. Well, that kind of gives you an impression of where someone's head might be. Could a potential juror lie? Yeah, they could. But then if something is found on Facebook that says other than that, then they'll be taken off the jury. And when it comes to seating a jury for a case like this, you're not going to just have 12 jurors. You're going to need alternates in case one gets sick or someone does something wrong discussing the case outside the courtroom or whatever reason might surface that says they need to be dismissed from the jury. So currently they have 5 seated jurors. Again, this is the so-called hush money criminal trial. Hush money criminal trial in the sense of that's what the prosecutor decided to do. Gather up all these allegations and so forth, and a prime witness being former Trump attorney Michael Cohen, who claimed that he paid money to Stormy Daniels and was asked to hide it from records and using campaign money doing it, and also not let Trump's wife know about Stormy Daniels. He didn't do a very good job of that part, did he? Bottom line is, she also apparently had signed a NDA, a non-disclosure statement, that she would not talk about it once she got the money. Well, she broke that. What are you going to do, sue her and then make it public anyway? Bottom line is, as Attorney General, former Attorney General William Barr points out, all of this is obviously political, an abomination. He said it's obviously political. 7 years after he pays hush money to try and come up with this case. And Barr has no great love for Trump. Trump doesn't for Barr either, but Barr is trying to be stuck into the legal sense, in the sense of this is just wrong, and it's a persecution. He's a lifelong Republican, was Attorney General under President George H.W. Bush, and trapped by Trump to be Attorney General in 2019 and 2020. And he left in December 2020 after disputing certain claims about election fraud. And Trump is tied up in court, can't go out on campaign except on the weekends. And they are now, they have five seated jurors, five out of that 96 they started with earlier this week. Attorneys on both sides have used some preemptive strikes to dismiss potential jurors that they don't want on the panel. They don't have to give a reason. Maybe the psychoanalyst they have inside the room with them leans over and says, no, that guy, you don't want him. Okay, move to dismiss that juror. Don't have to give a reason. They're entitled to do that. And at this point, they both have four strikes left. They can also ask the judge to dismiss jurors for cause, which means they would not use any of their strikes if they're able to do that. Now, they are going to select, as I said, not just 12 to hear the trial, but they say now they're going to take probably six alternates. So they need 18 seated. The six that are alternates will have no decision-making whatsoever unless they're suddenly put into the actual jury. But they need to sit there and hear everything just as the others do. So when the court now is looking to get more prospective jurors lined up and get questions out, those he calls in will come back tomorrow. One dismissed juror has been talking about the experience, did make it to the jury box, but then was not impaneled. The juror did not want to be identified, they say, due to safety concerns, and stated the first thing he saw when he walked in the courtroom was former President Donald Trump, quote, scowling at the jury. Right there, do you not get some indication of where this guy stands? Trump could be, quote, scowling at the jury. Is that to intimidate them? Or because I shouldn't even be here? We shouldn't be going through this charade. Maybe if Trump had been smiling and laughing and waving to the jurors, would that have changed his mind? Probably not. But the juror then was read different questions presented by the defense attorney, one of them for Trump, and the juror said, man, was he good. He said the prosecution ran out of time. They did not get to question him. He said in the jury room, he and other potential jurors discussed how it seemed as if the district attorneys had mismanaged their time. He said, I was there Monday and Tuesday and then struck, but I was never told why. He said, I considered the former president was more engaged on the first day than the second, when he appeared to be zoned out. He said, although Trump did briefly look up when a couple of blonde women were in the courtroom. That's a nice way to add that little touch to the story, right? He said then during lunch they got reports that identity-revealing information had been published, which made some in the pool scared. They didn't want to be identified as being part of that jury. We'll see what happens tomorrow, obviously. Yesterday there was it wasn't a brawl, it wasn't fisticuffs, but it was verbal sparring, and it got pretty interesting. It was supposed to be a hearing on Chinese communist actions and what they're trying to do inside our country. Jamie Raskin, Congressman of Maryland, is a co-chair of the same committee that is chaired by Kentucky Congressman James Comer. And Raskin found a way, while they're supposed to be talking about Chinese influence inside our nation, he found a way to work into the aspects of the Comer investigation, since he's seated right next to him, into Biden and how it's falling short, and it seems to be a bunch of hot air about nothing, and then also found a way to move Trump into the story. And I'm telling you, it was interesting to listen to.
Our colleagues at various points called this a smoking gun, said it showed proof that the Bidens took bribes and so on. Chairman Jason Smith, for example, said this was a smoking gun, and it was the definitive proof that that the Bidens took bribes. It's obviously been dropped, and yet this was the genesis of our investigation. How do we understand?
That's just simply not true, but go ahead.
I'll yield to the chairman if you want to take some more time.
No.
Well, you can use your time.
Are you saying the bank statements are Russian disinformation, that the Bidens took $9,000 from China?
Oh, I agree you've been talking about bank statements for more than a year, but they don't show anything other than there was no crime.
So it's okay for, as Tony Bobulinski said, for China to bribe Joe Biden's family with $9 million.
But that's the lie that's been discredited. I mean, where is your impeachment investigation? If Joe Biden took a $9 million bribe from China, why aren't you impeaching him for that?
Well, who says we're not?
Who said we're not? It's almost as if, wait for it. Of course, if they did impeach him, if they did what they did with the Mayorkas impeachment, Chuck Schumer would simply say, we're going to dismiss it. Or we'll do a brief hearing and we'll vote and it's done. Not really listening to any evidence. And keep in mind, as you heard earlier in this hour, Senator Ted Cruz pointed out, the Democrats didn't even bother filing a brief contesting any of the points raised in the impeachment. And today, Mayorkas admitted, I never bothered to read the impeachment articles. One, either he didn't think anything was going to happen with it, or two, he knew nothing was going to happen with it, or three, he just didn't give a damn because he'd do what he wants to. But there's an article breaking that is really disgusting when I tell you about it in a moment. But I want to go back to this little tiff between Raskin and Comer. Now, keep in mind, they were supposed to be discussing Chinese communist influence. It has already evolved, and it's got more to come.
Here, sit down, everybody, come back. This is about China. We asked a simple question. Now, Ms. Presley, you're out of order. Sit down.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman.
Where's it?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Burke.
Can I make a motion that we take a break for 5 minutes?
We're going to keep going.
Good.
We'll let the record show that Mr. Raskin could not answer the question.
First of all, Biden received the money. Let me start with this. My last name is Raskin, okay? We've sat next to each other for more than a year. You don't have to add the S. Number two, I would like my time restored. And number three,
you have not identified a single crime.
No. Well, what is the crime that you want to impeach Joe Biden for and keep this nonsense going? Well, why? What is the crime? Tell America right now.
You're about to find out.
There was more to that. If you missed our first hour, you need to pull it up and listen to the podcast or watch the video, obviously, because there was a deeper exchange going back and forth that's engaging. Did it accomplish anything? No, but it makes for good radio and TV, and in this case, I thought it was something that you'd enjoy hearing. It's democracy at work. But again, nothing was accomplished. They apparently did get back to the hearing itself once they got through. But I think the main point that Jamie wanted to be made clear, my last name is Raskin, no S on the N, Comers. He doesn't have an S on his either. Now, I told you that there's something developing that, despite yesterday and the Senate not even bothering to hold a full hearing on the impeachment as presented by the House, which is unheard of and absolutely wrong, and as Senator Cruz said, we're not doing our duty, Missouri Senator Josh Hawley has said that he has evidence now that the Jose Abera, and I'm using the name only because it's gotten major attention, otherwise I would ignore it. This is the individual from Venezuela who entered the country illegally at the El Paso sector. They gave him a parole pass to roam about the country as he chose. He got arrested in New York for an issue involving a child, a danger issue of some type. And rather than hold him for ICE to pick him up because he had violated the condition to be in the country, they released him because it's a sanctuary city and state, you know. And then, of course, he ends up down in Georgia and ends up, according to the accusations, killing 22-year-old Lakin Riley. Mayorkas had been asked, "What do you know about his criminal record?" I don't know anything. I don't know. Well, Senator Josh Hawley says, "I have federal documents now that show different." And according to Hawley, these documents basically state that Abera was encountered at the U.S. border, as I said, on Texas in September 2022. And they cited they couldn't hold him because of detention capacity. They were already full. They say that was one reason that they didn't hold him. And he said, "I know that's not a solid reason, but they did it anyway." And he's talking to Mayorkas about that point. But then they say they have data detailing that, one, there were detention beds available, they just didn't deal with him. And then apparently there's additional evidence that he had been involved in a prior crime if they just bothered checking into it. A lot of that's still to be developed. But that's exactly why Mayorkas was impeached. He's letting people like this into the country, unvetted, unchecked. And you and your family are at risk. Thank you for listening and reminding you of our pledge, one nation under God.